time that the church, that we in the church, we quit being fooled by the world. Because many are. Society and the world out around us, outside of the church, is seriously hostile to the kingdom of God. That means it's hostile to us. Remember what Jesus said? If the world hates me, what will it do to us? Hate us as well. What he said. You see, our view of the world must change. Tony and I was talking to me about this, and he was reading about another group, about why people can get sucked into these things. Those who can get taken in by cults, various cults. Why is that? Well, some people hear a new teaching. It's something new. Or a new teaching is advocated. You know, come and hear this person. Come and listen to this. Come and hear this. A number of friends that were taken down that road years ago in Bible college. And I was beginning to be taking that road down that road too. Until they told me I couldn't have my own books anymore. I had to give them all to the body. And the body would own them. And if we wanted to read one or whatever, we would go to the apostle or the prophet and ask permission. And they would tell us whether or not we could, you know, we could read it. But how does those things happen, you see? New teaching, new experiences are advocated, and people get sucked into that. But usually what causes those things is that there is some crisis. There is some crisis, whether that's in society or an individual's life. Think of it this way. What do you do when someone comes along? What do you do when someone comes along and says they have more complete knowledge? John, when they say they have more complete knowledge of God than you do, that God gave them this special knowledge, and you don't have it. Only they have it. It was given to them. But not that they can't share it. They can share it. And they say that they have more complete knowledge than you do, and you need to follow them. The ordinary Christian will begin to question their faith. That's how many people who are in churches get sucked into cults. Why? Because perhaps their life, their society, and their life is in crisis, and someone comes along, something new, and they get hooked into it. But it's because they begin to question their faith. And if they don't have an answer for them, then their faith, you see, is not grounded. It's not well established. It's not firm. And so they begin to believe these other things and go that way. That's why it is so imperative that we must be assured of our convictions. We must be assured of what this says. We must be in it. And we must be confident that this is the truth found in Scripture. You see, as Gary, the biblical scholar Gary Berge says, John believes, and I believe the same thing. And I would dare say that you do too. John believes that the world outside of Christ is a treacherous place and that it can do irreparable harm to believers. That's why it's important that people be in assembly. That's why preaching must not only just be us as evangelists just talking and preaching, but instructing. Instructing. It's just like what Paul says in Ephesians 6. I call that being on the front lines. When Paul talks about taking up our armor and what that armor is, to take that to heart. And we're going to come back to this treacherous place that can be an irreparable harm to believers when we come to 1 John 5, 4 through 12. Many years ago, I read a book, which I have in my library, by Jocko Lull. And I started reading his stuff because as a result of that. But it's called The New Demons. It was written in 1975. It outlined the forces that were at work in our world at that time. Many of those forces are still there, and they've gotten worse. Dr. Strauss used to talk to us about that in class, and one of the things he would say, shh, gotta be quiet now. There might be a CIA mole here in the class, and it'll get back to the Board of Trustees, he said. But what he used to say is, because he would teach these things, and what he would say is, why aren't they being taught in the church today? So the church will wake up. You know what he would say? He said, the reason why is, of course, that's, back in what we call in Midwest and in the South, what we call the Bible Belt. He would say, it's because the church leaders are too busy. They're too busy polishing the belt, the buckles on the Bible Belt. See? It's what happens, has happened in many churches. You see, he brings, Lowell brings out in this book, he basically brings out the fact that we have lost a Christian consensus undergirding our society. Yes, it's important we pray for our leaders. But when we lose this, this consensus, this undergirding, the sinner cannot hold. John Butler Yeats talked about that years ago in a poem. Because more and more, what Alul said, more and more we see what amounts to, and ask yourself if this is not true today. More and more we see what amounts to a sacred devotion to science. Science is the answer to everything. Really? That is what they're teaching. And materialism. But paradoxically, isn't it strange that paradoxically at the same time as all that is that we have that sacred devotion to science and materialism, at the same time, old and new pagan religious forms are sprouting up everywhere. I'll give you an example of this. At Union Theological Seminary, quote Christian now, just a couple of weeks ago, I don't know how many of you have heard about this or not, but students were asked, a theological seminary no less, students were asked to go before potted plants. I kid you not, they put potted plants out. And students were asked to go before those potted plants and ask forgiveness to those potted plants for how they had been treated and how their brothers and... Now get this, I'm not making this up. How their brothers and sisters were being treated by mankind. Because we're not taking the... climate change or global warming serious enough. Can you believe that? in a theological seminary, no less. They were asked to go before potted plants and pray and ask for their forgiveness. Wow. And for us, mankind, ignoring what is happening to all the plants and vegetation of the world. A few years ago, Carl Henry wrote a book that's still valid for today called Twilight of a Civilization, The Drift Toward Neo-Paganism. And see if this is not true today. I'll just read a couple of paragraphs here. We live in the twilight of a great civilization amid the deepening decline of modern culture. Now we're in the post-modern and post-Christian. Those strange beast empires of the books of Daniel and Revelation seem already to be stalking and sprawling over the surface of the earth. Only the experimental success of modern science hides us from the dread terminal illness of our increasingly technological civilization. Because our sights are fixed on outer space and man on the moon, we cannot see the judgment that hangs low over our own planet. We applaud modern man's capability, but forget that nations are threatening each other with atomic destruction. They still are. That gun smoke darkens our inner cities. Still is. Witness Chicago. And that's a gun-free zone city, by the way. And that our near neighbors walk in terror by day and sleep in fear by night. We sit glued to television sets, unmindful that ancient pagan rulers staged Colosseum circuses to switch the mind of the restless ones from the realities of the spiritually vagrant empire to the illusion that all is basically well. And that's what they want people to think, that all is basically well. Says we are so steeped in the Antichrist philosophy, namely that success consists in embracing not the values of the Sermon on the Mount, but an infinity of material things, of sex and status, that we little sense how much of what passes for practical Christianity is really an apostate compromise with the spirit of the age. Our generation and generations following is lost to the truths of God, to the reality of divine revelation, to the content of God's will, to the power of his redemption, and to the authority of his word. For this loss, it is paying dearly in a swift relapse to paganism. The savages are stirring again. You can hear them rumbling and rustling in the temple of our times. And I believe we can at that. I want to close with a comment from David Wells in his book, God in the Wasteland, The Reality of Truth in a World of Fading Dreams. He says, it is one of the defining marks of our time that God is now weightless. I do not mean by this that he is ethereal, but rather that he has become unimportant. Unless we need him. Thus, what we call MTD, moral therapeutic deism today. He rests upon the world so inconsequentially as not to be noticeable. He has lost his saliency for human life. Those who assure the posters of their belief in God's existence may nonetheless consider him less interesting than television, or I would say now the internet. His commands less authoritative than their appetites for affluence and influence. His judgment no more awe-inspiring than the evening news or what's on the internet. And his truth less compelling than the advertiser's sweet fog of flattery and lies. That is weightlessness. It is the condition we have assigned him after having nudged him out to the periphery of our secularized life. His truth is no longer welcome. And see, this is not true today. His truth is no longer welcome in our public discourse. The engine of modernity rumbles on, and he is but a speck in its path. His truth is no longer welcome in public discourse. And I'm not being out of turn when I say that, remember that used to, whenever you would go to court and you were sworn in a trial, whether you're a witness, a juror, or what, you raised your right hand and you said, what? When you're a witness, I solemnly swear to tell the truth, so help me. What? No longer. Now then they just say, do you swear that you will tell the truth? Or that you will say the, state the truth? Will you state the truth? That's it. See? But not God behind it. See? We have lost his truth in public discourse. So with that, next week we're going to begin to look at this idea of what I would call wrong faith. And I want us to stand. I want to close our service today a little differently with a song. And stand and listen to it. Some of you may have heard it before, but really listen to the words. And I like the way Fernando Ortega does it. It's called Give Me Jesus. Let's stand.